In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I wanted to take one more chance to revisit the crosses of Trinity. We've taken a look at the cross of ashes from Ash Wednesday, the State Street cross, which is over on the pulpit right now, the West Boulevard cross. We looked at the cross painting in the narthex, the crucifix above the altar here, and the spire outside the church. And tonight we're going to talk about Old Rugged, the cross that stands behind me and one that has been a fixture here on Good Friday. Now, we began simply on Ash Wednesday as Lent began, but the other crosses have a sense of beauty in their ornamentation. However, there's not a whole lot of beauty to Old Rugged. It's simply two logs set together and nailed together. From years of use, most of the bark now has fallen away. There's places where it's marked and scratched and split and nicked. There's knots and scars all over it. It's not much to look upon. But every year, we as a Trinity family would fall on our knees before this cross and recall what Jesus suffered this day for our sake. And there's nothing flashy about his sacrifice. There was nothing beautiful from the look of the onlookers that day. It was simple, and it was brutal, and it was heart-wrenching. Now, I've grown quite fond of this cross over the years, and I've grown to know it very, very well. Every year, we'll carry it down the center of the church and three times place it down as we say, "Behold the wood of the cross upon which the Savior of the world has hung." And as we say this, We carry this, and it's there's a place on this cross right here where there's these knots of wood that you can kind of get that nook between your thumb and your forefinger kind of latched in there to grip it enough just to carry it. And it kind of digs in. And with each time, with each lift, begins with a deep breath and a small prayer that I don't drop it or it doesn't fall on top of me. The first time I was asked to carry this cross on Good Friday, I arrogantly thought to myself, "I have this, it's no big deal. I'll be great, I'll be fine." And I was humbled by Old Rugged. As I carried that in full health, a fully capable person, I couldn't help but imagine Jesus who carried his cross after being beaten beyond recognition. Christ wasn't much to look upon that day on Good Friday. In fact, Isaiah tells us that he was simple in look. He wasn't fashioned like the gods of Greek mythology, chiseled out of marble. He was a simple man. But on that day specifically, his appearance was especially marred. And we can imagine the scene, the crowd of onlookers as they follow him to the place where he is to be crucified. And they can't pull away their gaze. I mean, how often do we display, how often do we stare at displays of carnage? You know, maybe it's TV or movies, but even in life, just when we come to, let's say, an accident and everyone slows down and tries to see what's going on and see if they can catch a glimpse of it all. And I can imagine that on Good Friday with the crowds looking upon Jesus with this morbid fascination. But as the brutality increased, as the hope dissipated, as the darkness began to cover the earth, I can imagine many in that crowd began to avert their eyes. They couldn't look anymore. They couldn't take it anymore. That sickening sensation in the pit of their stomach. How could humanity be so cruel to one of their own? But you see, today, we as Christians, we know that it's even more than humanity being cruel to one of their own. It's humanity showing such cruelty to the Creator, to the one who gave them their very life and their very breath, to destroy Him who made them. It's the brutality of the cross that exposes our hearts, that exposes the heart of humanity, our unthinkable capacity to destroy and to kill, our capacity for death. And it exposes the true darkness and cost of sin. When we fell hard, and we fell into death, and we fell into sin. But when man fell into sin, God did not abandon him. God went into the darkness after him with full knowledge of what it was going to cost him, with full knowledge of what he was doing, with his full choosing. He came after us, even suffering death at our hands. There's a theologian, Gorodini, who says it this way: no one ever died as Jesus died, who is life itself. No one was ever punished for sin as he was, the sinless one. No one ever experienced the plunge down the vacuum of evil as did God's Son, even to the excruciating agony behind the words, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus was truly destroyed. The death he experienced, the sin he experienced, the darkness he experienced was beyond anything we will ever suffer, because he took all the death and all the sin and all the darkness of humanity upon himself on the cross in that singular moment, a weight beyond anything we could ever bear, let alone even imagine. And so in that moment, Jesus was destroyed. The immortal became mortal. The Son of God died. And to what end? That he may save the very ones he created, us. The beauty of God's love became marred and ugly in order that it may return to an even greater glory. He was stricken and smitten for us, so that by his wounds we are healed. Isaiah outlined the passion of Jesus so precisely that it brings to life the gospel accounts. It helps us see beyond the courts and trials and jeering of the crowds. It helps us understand in that moment what the Lord is doing, to see through and past the pain and the darkness. And he came to bear the transgressions of us, our sins, our iniquities. All because he loves us. He loves you, his child. Tonight we see on display love. True, unselfish, self-giving love. There are so many uncertain things in this world. And even more uncertainty in this day and age. But in the midst of uncertainty, I'm sure many of us have asked the question, what can we be certain of? The love of Christ. The love of Christ. That's what tonight is all about. This is the one thing we can always be certain of, no matter what tempest, no matter what storm, no matter what thing we are in the midst of. The love of Christ remains. It is the one thing that can never be taken from us. Death itself cannot take it away. Not even upon this ugly cross. Because the cross, though it is ugly, because of the love of Jesus, there is no sweeter sight to the Christian, to our eyes. We are all too aware that sin has worn us down and worn us out and beaten us. Sin has stripped us and left us naked and bare and ashamed and accused and cursed. But upon this cross hung the one who redeemed me and clothed me in righteousness. And as he hung, stripped and shamed and cursed upon a tree to die, he breathed his last, and with his death, death died. What are you worried about tonight? What weighs heavy on your heart this evening? Jesus took your sin. And he took your death, and he took your darkness. And if he can take those burdens from us, from you, surely he can take away whatever is weighing heavy on your heart tonight. I want to invite you, as you're willing, to take a moment and share with those currently around you tonight, or perhaps even if you would so dare, share in the comments. It doesn't have to be specific. What weighs heavy on your heart tonight? And the reason I ask we do this is so that we can take a moment to pray for each other as we bring these burdens to the cross. Tonight, the health of a family member weighs heavy upon my heart. The pains of our flock and our people weigh heavy upon my heart. What burden do you bear? Tonight we bring to him all the pain and the anxiety and the heartache and the suffering, and we put him at the cross. After the solemn intercessions, we'll invite you in the adoration of the cross. And I encourage you, take some time as a family and kneel before whatever cross or crucifix you may have in your house, or even just the image of the cross here pulled up on your screen, and take a moment in prayer, humbly acknowledging our need for a Savior and giving thanks for what was accomplished for you on the cross this day. Lay down whatever burdens you are bearing at the foot of the cross, and the burdens that your brothers and sisters bring to you today, lay those at the foot of the cross for them. And I encourage you, as you feel moved, offer a sign of affection for our Lord Jesus, a simple gesture of thanks for the boundless love that he poured into us. And during that time, there's going to be some music, and I ask that we just pause and reflect on this night when our God experienced death for us, taking all of our burdens to that cross. That in his death, death may die. And we are so privileged to be able to cling to the promises of eternal life. Let us pray. Lord, bless our time of adoration. Humble us to acknowledge our sins as we have failed our friends, our parents, our spouses, our children, our co-workers, our neighbors, as we have failed you, O God. Our fears, our uncertainties, our brokenness, our anger, and our frustrations. It is at the foot of the cross that we stand forgiven. Grow within our hearts an understanding and quiet thankfulness for this gift of love, which could be expressed in no other manner than the sacrifice of Jesus our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.